Thank you very much for joining in. This session is going to be a bit different, teams, from last time. Last time, I don't know whether you remember at all, but the thing that I was talking about was the fact, I was talking about energy last time teams were in, and about the fact that living by the energy that God gives is very different from trying your hardest. And that naturally, what we do is, you know, you've got people around who say to you, I don't believe in God. Well, we act as though we don't believe in God, because when we find ourselves in a really difficult situation with friends or with work or, well, with family, what we tend to do is to say, I have got to try harder, not to say, I want to draw on the energy that God gives. And there is an energy drink that God gives that is not going to be banned. Okay, we drink of the Spirit, and that's what makes us powerful. So before I get into this, and before you guys get a sugar rush, let's have a pray, and then we'll quickly revise last week. Okay, Father, thank you for the fact you brought us together, that there are all sorts of different ages and situations here. That would be impossible for us, but for your Spirit and your ability to touch us all where we are right now. Amen. Amen. Okay. Last week, the image of church we were talking about was being a little light. Rachel, if you need to talk, you'll need to go outside. Thank you. The way in which we developed it was to talk about the fact that you could see a whole range of churches with different characteristics, all of which were in the Turkey area. Some of them were as close as 20 miles apart. Although I don't think any two of the ones that were actually on that list, but you remember a while back we were talking about Colossae, and Paul said, make sure that my letter to you is read in the church at Laodicea and swap with their letter. This is owing to the fact that photocopiers were very expensive at the time and they needed to find other ways around. Let's put the light off just while we're going through the next little bit. The church that we talked about was Pattern Church, which is opening in the old pattern shop next to the outlet, just by the barriers to the right as you go into the outlet. If you come via Sainsbury's, on the right is the pattern shop. And most recently it was Bottolino's, a not terribly successful Italian restaurant. The people who are going to lead that work are, who got the names of these people? Did you, Laura? Who are they? Kath and Joel. And listening to them introducing themselves on Facebook. Oh. Let's go back to...
I'm Joel.
And I'm Kath, and we are so excited and privileged to be leading a church plant in Swindon later this year.
Swindon is an amazing town with a rich history and an incredible future, and we want to have Jesus right at the heart of that as well. So we want to lead a church that reaches out to the 200,000 plus people in this amazing town who don't know Jesus, who serve the town, and who can help build something quite special.
So if you live around Swindon, if you're in Wiltshire, if you're not connected to a church, we'd love to see you. Come on down.
And get praying for us. Thanks so much.
Okay, so that's really where much of where we got to last week. We sort of finished off by going on to the next thing, but we did do an activity right at the end. And after we talked about what might particularly attract three sets of people, those who wanted to ramp up their discipleship, those who were de-churched, those who were unchurched, we then turned the question in on ourselves and said, what three things are particularly attractive to you about Dayspring? Now, we will actually refer back to this list quite a lot over the next few weeks, or not over the next few weeks, from the 18th of November onwards. I don't want to put too much weight on it, because it was a fairly random exercise. Not everybody got the question quite clear, but I was interested in how it came out. So, this is just in terms of frequency across the dimensions that we talked about. These words came out. So, the central word, the word that was most frequent, was friendly. And you can see if you start to add family, community to that, then that adds up. Church, I meant to delete church because that's a distractor within that. Open blue featured strongly. Wiltshire, the spirit, kids. And teens actually shows as being smaller than I thought it did. And then there's a load of other words. So if you, from my point of view and from our point of view, when we look at this, we want to look at the words that are larger rather than the words that are smaller. Okay? So it's just a sort of a size indication there in that particular word cloud. I'm sure most of you, well, you know that when we do that sort of activity, that's what I do, because the words that you're looking for tend to jump out at you. This is a good way of making sure that you see the other words which you're not looking for as well. Anyway, that was what we did, and we're going to have a look at that, because I did say that we want to think about values. Now, we do occasionally talk about values. We don't talk about it as much as we used to, but we reckon that there are three areas that the values are the things that you will give up other stuff for, right? They're your values in life. So for us, holidays were always a value, because we would rather have spent money on holidays than on furniture, right? If you've got four kids, there's no point in spending money on furniture anyway, because it only gets ruined. That's what a value is. It's the thing that you put at the top of the pile. We know people, for instance, who in their families, education is a really big value, and they put a lot of effort into making sure their kids get educated. We put a lot of effort into talking. And one of the features of our life is that our kids are all pretty used to talking, and sitting down to dinner was always a free-for-all. Sitting down to dinner was all important, and you had to be able to hold your own. And I can remember sometimes visitors who didn't have any kids found sitting down at a table with us was quite troublesome, particularly as they reached teenage years and tended to discuss whatever it was quite violently. We also had a bunch of drummers in our family, which was really annoying and wasn't approved of, because, you know, if you're a drummer, then every knife and fork are drumsticks. They also, of course, never had the ability, they never needed. I don't know why we didn't just buy chairs with two legs, because nobody ever seemed to need chairs with four legs. But there you were. Those are values. So here's some values for us that we have looked at are spirituality and mission and community. Now, my feeling is that we've done a lot more work on both of these But of course, what happens when you really start to look at any of the things, you think, you're aware of the weaknesses rather than the strengths. And for us, we've got three themes at the moment. We end up with more, may end up with more when we look again. But those themes are practices, spiritual practices. Those are pathways, spiritual pathways. And there's presence. So there's three P's there. We haven't visited those for a long time, although quite often we're sort of inferring that from the stuff that we talk about. In terms of mission, you've heard us talk about start small, do what's doable, be yourself, expect the ordinary but be ready for the extraordinary, and either one or two that I can never quite remember. So obviously I need to revise those again. But community is something that we haven't thought about so much. And this is a way, I think, in which we're going to do this over a little while. And we're doing some new work here this morning. What we did last week, we talked about the way I got you to organise this stuff was to talk about up towards God, in towards the community, and out towards the population, out towards those who do not yet know Jesus and haven't thought much about the possibility of God. Those were the things that we were considering under. By the way, if you look hard, you can just about squeeze that image out of the Bible. It's very, very popular. It sort of works. But one of the interesting things is when you look at three things like that, is to say, now what have they missed out? Okay, because there's always something when you simplify things that you miss out. We won't worry about the next slide. Last week we talked a bit about the Bible, but today I'm going on to a new thing, and I just want to concentrate on one word, and we'll see how we get on there. So let's listen to this. They talked about the people who had become Christians on the day of Pentecost. Now we think, isn't that wonderful? When we really do well, everybody will become Christians in one day. Well, in fact, all the people there, if you liked, were almost Christians already. They knew about God. They knew about the Holy Spirit. They knew how God worked. They knew that a Messiah was coming. All they needed to know was the final bit, who the Messiah was. And 3,000 people said, oh yeah, that makes sense, on the day. And they became part of the church, just like that. Now, we live in a very, very different world where most people don't even entertain the possibility of God. Incidentally, one of the things I've found out over the past few months is that there's a great way of talking about the Spirit when the Spirit is working with people who are not yet Christians, and that is to talk about the Spirit as the possibility of God. And there's a guy who said that has actually said that, let's name the Spirit the possibility of God. And that means that you have a real head start when you speak to friends around, because when they say to you, I've always wondered about God, you can think, ah, I know who you're talking about. You're talking about the Spirit. And the Spirit is already at work. Anyway, that's for another time, really. But we're going to go through this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. There's all these 3,000 people. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, there's so much stuff in here, even over 4 or 5 weeks, how many weeks we're going to spend looking at this stuff, we're not going to get into all of it. And I'm actually wanting to start this morning by thinking about just one word, and it's here. Are we going? No, let's go back the other way. This is really strange, this doesn't. I need to practice with this at home. Right, now, so we're there, we're going to here. No, we've lost. Ah, I'm really disappointed about that, because I was going to play the trailer for the Fellowship of the Rings. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen that, but it's a story about how a hobbit called
Frodo.
You're thinking of the hobbits. A hobbit called Frodo and some friends set off to recover Sauron's ring, which was a source of really bad power. And the first film in the series, first movie, was called The Fellowship of the Ring. Why did they call it the Fellowship? Why does fellowship work in that context? Pardon?
One goal. They're all from sort of diverse tribes and groups.
Yeah, they're from different people who came together.
One mission.
Anything else?
They were in agreement.
They were kind of sacrificing themselves really for that goal.
And sacrificing themselves for one another as well. They were supporting one another. And when one was down, the others helped them. When they ran out of reserves, resources came in from other parts of the fellowship. Now, if you want to think fellowship, try and think of something like that when we use the word fellowship. Because it adds something to the picture. Of course, one of the popular words that we think of is the word community. This is all very exciting because things that I thought were on here do not appear to be on here. No, they go the other way around. Right.
In the first chapter of Genesis, there's this really interesting thing that happens where God says, let us make man in our own image. Now, that's plural. It says, let us make man in our own image. Now, he's talking about the Trinity there. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are then creating us out of their own very image and breath, which means this community, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, if we're created in their image, then that means it's in our very identity that we were created for community as well. It's actually trying to live without community is like trying to live without oxygen. It's a very part of what it means to be human. I think a lot of times, though, we fall on the other side of that. We think we can just follow Jesus all by ourselves, just he's our best friend, and we have no church community. We have no people around us that are helping us through life, but God gave us this family that actually is where true joy comes from. I mean, trying to live without the church is like trying to sit on a stool with one peg. You might be able to do it decently successful in regards to how you're showing yourself to the world, but it'll be very difficult and much harder. It wasn't created to act like that. We were created for community. We were created to be in the family of God.
Okay, community, fellowship. We have
to. Jeff, here, real quick, if you want my audiobook completely free, click up there. If you want my poems on iTunes, click over there. If you want signed books, posters, click over there. And lastly, don't forget to subscribe. But that's all I got. Love you guys. So peace, Aslan.
It's a real problem when you don't, when you're in so much of a hurry, you don't listen right the way through to the end. You get the promos as well. So we have to have a modern word to be equivalent with the word fellowship, because otherwise we go around and we start thinking of Christian fellowship, you know, which is something sort of just slightly weird. But the Fellowship of the Rings makes a lot of sense. Community makes a lot of sense. But just let me switch back to the old-fashioned word for a moment. And Carol, if you would facilitate the teens with this, the question for you guys is this: what would the teens group be like if it was a fellowship rather than a Sunday morning group? Okay, that's your question. If we go back. For the others of you, here's my question. Where's it gone? You got a cluster of words round. If you really wanted us to be operating as community and fellowship within Dayspring, what would we need to add to what we've got in the middle of this cluster? Yeah? So is there anything we can add to what is there? Is there anything we should be adding? And what we'll do is we'll pick up some of those things and we'll just make a list of them and we'll pray a little bit about them, reflect and pray, and then we're finished for today, because what we respond with this morning will give us some material to go forward next time. So what do we need to add in order to have real fellowship among us? We've said that we talked about teaching, we talked about breaking of bread and fellowship, and we talked about prayer. Those were the four things that were mentioned there. We know what prayer is. We know pretty much what teaching is, sort of, or what its goals are. There's a real problem with the words breaking of bread there, but we'll deal with that on another day. I'll tell you what the problem is, that nobody's quite sure whether it meant the Lord's Supper service or whether it just meant eating together, eating meals at one another's houses with a consciousness that God was with you. Okay, but we're concentrating here on fellowship, community, and asking the question, what do we need to add? So talk to one another about it. We'll brainstorm this out. We'll get some feedback from the teens as well, who are going to talk about specifically about their context. Okay, I don't know whether you guys want to up and stand at the back to do it, but talk to one another for 3 minutes, please. Okay, guys, let's see what we've got. Could you at least stand up for a moment, those of you who sat there? You might need to help Carol up. I thought she was... Right, can you just give us three things that would move you on from where you are now in terms of moving from being a group to being a fellowship?
There's a difference, because Barbara was saying that we like teams breakfast and things, there's a bit more of a community the other ones don't have. Fair enough.
Okay.
I did say to people who are going to make hung out, which would be good to hear.
Sorry, say that again.
I've been asked whether both of the siblings hang out as like family, whether that helps.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested more meeting. But they thought it was actually doing stuff together. being why we're in the food together, but not why we need to be the economy. Is that a fair summary, do you not think?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you come and sit down, please, and now listen to the adults, see whether they have got anything to offer that you may want to add, doing stuff together. Thank you. Okay, we can just take a sheetful for now. Well, we might need to go just a little bit further than that, but what did you come out with? What would that add to what we have?
The thing that struck me that was kind of missing, and I realised we weren't here last week, was the whole thing of service, laying down your life, you know.
Yeah, we actually talk for one another. So serving one another, you're saying, yeah. Okay. That was, by the way, that was a community learning activity. As far as possible, I didn't try and prompt it at all. Yeah. Anything else?
So what you were saying with the Lord of the Rings, about bringing in support, and we were talking about the pastoral side of our church. We were talking about the fact that both of Matt and I, we actually link up with people outside of the church during the course of the week for prayer and support.
Okay.
And we don't actually link up with people within our own church.
That's a really interesting thing. Can I just throw, it's not really a hand grenade, but at least it's something that might sort of froth for a bit. Long time ago, I studied social psychology, and one of the things you found out was that the more groups you are part of, the less you can be committed to any of them, right? That's common sense, really. When that's good psychology, is mostly common sense. But it also works the opposite way. The more we invest in being together, the less we have to do the kind of things that you're doing, okay? So one of the things we've got, I would think probably the biggest issue that we have to face is how do we square that circle? Makes me sound like a mason, doesn't it, when you talk like that? But how do we get that, put that together? Because it seems to me that if our push is outwards, then anything we do with people outside the church, even if they're other Christians, has got to have a little plus against it. Yeah? So, okay, that's, if you have the answer, guys, you're welcome to share a talk on that, yeah? But that's, what else did we come up with?
Trust,
increased trust. Yeah. How does that work, Simon? What difference would that make?
Well, it's sort of trusting each other. I mean, it's something that I find I do, but it's just not something that's on there. Because if we trust in each other, then we have that fellowship.
Yeah. You know, okay.
And we do rely on each other, and there's also togetherness as well.
One of the things, of course, that it makes it so much easier is that if we want to support and challenge one another, the basis of that is trust. Okay? At the moment, I've been working with some guys whose job it is to pull apart everything I'm writing and doing. I trust those guys because they want me to get great results out of what I'm doing. I know that they are on my side. And the most stupid thing I could ever do would be to say to them, oh, don't be horrible to me. I've tried really hard. And I've got some colleagues, you know, who actually stopped. These are grown-up people who actually stopped doing the work that we've been doing because they didn't like being criticised. They sent their stuff in and they worked hard on it for a year and were told, no, this is not really very good. You need to sort of do it again. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying, thanks, I want to really take notice of what you say, they said, how dare you? You know, got out of it. So, but of course you have to trust people. Because if you think somebody doesn't care about you and they say, well, I think you could do this a bit differently, you may think, oh, well, that's just your opinion. You don't care. Yeah. What else?
Well, thinking about wisdom.
Wisdom.
I mean, you would look to the core of the church for wisdom.
Yeah.
And also then you would expect to have or be able to enable other people to provide wisdom.
Yeah, okay, that's an interesting thing. We won't follow that one up at the moment, but when you get to that, what you're going to do is you're going to find almost everything you say that I'm going to say, and on the other hand, because we have to deal with the other hands. And this one's a classic one, isn't it? In a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom, one thing. Too many cooks spoil the broth. Yeah? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, you know, sort of, you can get advice from all over the place, but actually having wisdom that comes into our lives is hugely valuable. And I can think of lots of times when people have said things to me and I thought, wow, I don't actually need to worry about that. And that was wisdom coming in. Let me just give you a quick example so you can see how practical it is. We got back from France, our first trip to France, four children, old style Volvo, roof racks right the way across the top, driving an automatic at 83 kilometres. There was a problem with the Volvos at that time, that you shook the transmission loose when you went over 70 if you drove for long enough. Didn't always happen, it happened to us. And so the day before Bastille Day, we were trying to get our car repaired, you know, the day before bank holiday and get back home. And I talked to one of my friends and said, I really felt as though I wasn't able to hang on to God in this. I was getting really in a state. I was in a bad mood with Wendy. I was in bad with the kids. And the guy turned around to me and didn't say to me, I'll pray for you. He said, that is a pretty heavy thing to go through. To be stuck in a country, first time you, well, second time, third time perhaps, that I'd visited, but the first time we'd taken a car there. And to have your car just stuck in one gear driving up a French motorway. You know, it's a bad thing. It's, you don't judge where you are in God by the really difficult circumstances. And that was the kind of wisdom that I couldn't get for myself. I was being too hard on myself. Charlie, you wanted to, you'd got something, yeah?
I'm just thinking about daytime time.
Yeah.
I tried a couple of years ago meeting up with some of the mums here during the week with our little ones, but that was quite hard to do the work and stuff like that. So I don't know whether or not just that.
Yeah, I don't know whether you know, guys, but Charlie actually took the initiative and put together a group of mums who were at home during the day, which got legs on it and really did sort of work, and it's a bit in abeyance now. Because kids grow up and those things are always short term. At the other end, since we've had a group of somewhat older people, those of us who are available in the day meet together only once a month at the moment in a group called Renew. There's 11 of us who meet, and it's a really great group. We get together and look at the Word and try to make people shut up for long enough, discuss the Bible and pray, and we move around from one person's house to another. And the house group thing is really working for us. You know, the small group thing is working. The difficulty is, how do we, as Charlie says, manage to get that kind of sharing, working with for people for whom time is almost impossibly at a premium? Okay, so that's another thing I would like us to put in. So, here's where we finished this morning. Teens group. Are you still using that Skinny Legends motif, or was that just a bit of a laugh?
Yep.
You are using it. Barbara said they are using it.
Barbara's invested in a flag.
I know she's invested in a flag. That's a real good way of controlling, getting a flag, and then you put it up and you see who marches behind it. You think we're joking. She has produced a flag. Ask her to show it to you. She hasn't got it with her this morning. Yeah, next Sunday she'll show it to you. But you guys do actually need to think about this. And next time you are eating those huge breakfasts at McDonald's, right, put your lager to one side and discuss...
Wetherspoons, not McDonald's.
Wetherspoons. Don't go to Wetherspoons. I got fined for... or they tried to fine me for spending an hour and a half talking to Joe Roberts. There. But have a talk about how you can that can develop. And just keep this in the back of your mind. I'll bring back to you what we've got here. And I'd like us to do more on this. We'll probably actually try and do more in little groups. We may even put some tables in here one Sunday and try and discuss what two or three things we could do to move community forward. Because I think sometimes it's better to do that than to lay out all these glorious plans and scriptural possibilities. We know we want to serve one another. We know we want to learn from one another. We know we want to care for one another. The question is, how the heck do we do that in with all we have to do anyway? So let's just put this before the Lord in all seriousness. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray. I'm not going to say a prayer. I'm going to pray, believing that God will answer. Okay, let's pray. Father, I really do think that this is an important time for us to think about fellowship and community and how those things fit together for us. And Lord, I do believe, like Andy was talking about, that the wisdom that we need at the moment lies here within the church, not outside. Well, it lies with you, but you're going to give it to us. Not with the oversight, or with the transitional team, or with me, or with anything else, but in the body, you know where you're going to put those voices. And Lord, I pray that as we get back to this on the 18th of November, that what we'll hear is not just opinions, but your voice in the body of Christ for your glory and for the benefit of this whole county. Amen. Okay, guys, thank you. That's it.